Monster Movie Media presents.
Welcome, foolish mortals, to this bonus episode of the Creepy Kingdom podcast. This episode is an update on the upcoming documentary film about Haunted Mansion fans, Foolish Mortals. It'd been a while since our first update episode, so I thought it was time to update everyone again. A lot of people that have been following along may be aware of some of the information that I'm saying, following along off listening to the podcast. But I do have some new information as well. I'm just going to bring everyone up to speed about what's going on with the film, where we're at, and what the plan is moving forward. Before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about Creepy Kingdom, now that I got you here. We are rapidly approaching our 100th episode, and as I teased to in previous episodes, once we hit 100, or maybe 101, it's probably 101, things are going to be a little bit different. We're going to revamp the show a little bit. I want to, you know, let all the cats out of the bag yet. But one of the things that I can tell you right now is that we plan to return to our weekly schedule. Our schedule now has been pretty much every other week, and then there'll be some times where there's longer than that for various reasons. So there's going to be an end to the randomness of our release schedule. I'm going to get back on a weekly schedule once we relaunch our show. Another thing I'll allude to here, I guess, and you may know this if you are a citizen of the Creepy Kingdom, that's our private Facebook group. Or closed, it's not private. I don't know, I can't keep up with the terminology of Facebook. Anyways, that is, we are going to obviously continue talking about the creepiness of the Disney films and theme parks, but we're going to burst a little bit out of that Disney bubble, start covering some non-Disney creepy things that kind of still fall under the umbrella. There's no real way to describe what those things are. We kind of know what they are as we come across them, but we look forward to expanding on the things we talk about on the show. So those are two little tidbits of what's been going on with our relaunch. I'm going to say it's 101, episode 101, because episode 100 is obviously going to be a special episode. We're not just going to go with the flow here. So don't have any real hints on what that's going to be. That's still in the works as well. So just trying to work things out and get everything in order before we start teasing that. But we're rapidly approaching our 100th episode. Okay, now let's get into it. Let's get into the Foolish Mortals updates. I'm excited. Let's do this. Right off the bat, I'm going to talk to you about an event that is coming up very soon. I know most of you probably will not be able to attend this event if you're already not planning to, as it is taking place in Long Beach, California, July 30th and 31st. And that is the Midsummer Scream Halloween Festival. But just in case you are in Southern California or can get to Southern California and weren't sure whether or not you wanted to attend this event, I'm just going to talk to you a little bit about it. And even if you can't attend, you know, you want to make your plans for next year. But let's stick with this year, because this is actually a big event for us here at Foolish Mortals. As that I will be taking part in a panel that's called Terror Behind the Camera Fan-Made Films. The description is a thrilling sneak peek at two upcoming fan-funded, fan-driven films, as well as a panel discussion about crowdfunding, struggling with trademarks and intellectual property, and the importance of independent films created by enthusiasts. Featured, Foolish Mortals, a documentary about cosplayers and diehard fans who consider themselves part of the Haunted Mansion's 999 Happy Haunts, and The Night Evil Died, an unofficial Halloween sequel starring Tony Moran, who appeared as Michael Myers in the original John Carpenter classic, moderated by Norman Gidney owner and creator of Harbuzz.com. So to the people that attend this panel at Midsummer Scream, not only will I be on the panel discussing the film, I'll be showing a sneak peek. The panel takes place on Sunday, July 31st at 1 p.m. But this is just one of the many reasons that you should keep going to this event, because this event really is going to be awesome. I'm not just saying this because I'm a part of it. I'm really excited to be there and experience a lot of other things that are going on. I'm going to talk to you about a few of them. I'm not going to sit here and pitch Midsummer Scream this whole time, but there are some things that I believe that you would want to hear about. There's a panel called Frightful Attraction Design for Theme Park Audiences. And this panel includes many industry legends, including the very legendary Tony Baxter, which most of our listeners are aware of Tony Baxter and what he has done for our lives to make them more awesome when we go to Disney theme parks. Through his illustrious career as a former Imagineer. The description is, theme park attractions are designed to thrill and delight guests of all ages while listening both laughter and screams. Since the dawn of amusement, spook shows and fear-inducing attractions have been the core of themed entertainment. Join industry legends Tony Baxter, Gary Goddard, Susan Bonds, and Phil Hameta as they discuss the delicate art of creating major theme park attractions that are frightening, chilling, and intense while staying within the boundaries of quote-unquote family entertainment, moderated by Rick West, the founder/editor-in-chief of Theme Park Adventure. That seems like a pretty awesome panel to me, guys. I don't know about you, but come on. Also, my pal Jeff Heimbuch, whom you may know as one of the hosts of Communicore Weekly. He has another podcast, which is an audio drama called Return Home, which they are doing a live interactive performance. So that's not to be missed. I'm also very excited that my girlfriend, Shannon McGrew, owner and editor-in-chief of NightmarishConjurings.com, is moderating a panel that will be featuring the people behind the makeup design, the effects, the character development, the overall look of the hit television show American Horror Story. So that's just a little bit of taste of all the awesome stuff coming up at the event. Universal Studios Hollywood is doing a panel on Halloween Horror Nights. They're expected to make an announcement there. Just a lot of awesome, fun stuff. There'll be mini haunts to experience, amazing vendors. And I can say that because a lot of them I know, a lot of them are going to be involved in Foolish Mortals, or not a lot of them, but there are some. So I could vouch for them. They're awesome. They have awesome things there. It's really going to be sweet. So if you can make it, here's what you got to do to get there. You go to midsummerscream.org to buy your tickets. And while you're there, you can use our coupon code to get 30% off. And our coupon code is FANMADE, one word, all capitals. 30% off. That's pretty good. All you got to do is type in FANMADE. That's it. So to all the people listening, we're like, oh, I want to go to that, but I can't. Well, I'm happy to announce that Creepy Kingdom will be partnering with Nightmarish Conjurings to extensively cover the event. We're going to obviously be reporting live, you know, pictures, reviews, all that stuff, and try to get videos of most of the panels. You know, we can't record everything, but we're going to be there and try to bring all that to you so you can just follow along at home and then say, hey, next time, next year, next midsummer, I want to be there. Okay. The next thing I would like to talk to you about is that we have launched an Etsy store. Now you might be asking, what? You're making a documentary? What? You're making crafts? What's going on, James? Connect the dots for me. Gladly. So as you may or may not be aware, a few months ago we launched a Kickstarter, which was not successful, so we did not get the funding. But we did get amazing press coverage for the Kickstarter, and that we were doing this, and that we wouldn't have gotten otherwise if we weren't running the Kickstarter. So we were exposed to a lot of people, and we've met a lot of people, and it's really helped grow the film. So, you know, getting the money through Kickstarter just, you know, was not meant to be. And, you know, while that was disappointing at the time, we certainly have dusted ourselves off and are soldiering, you know, forward, because we are determined, obsessed, and dedicated to making this film. So while we were figuring out what we're going to do next, I decided that since a large amount of people, and probably you listening, did back the Kickstarter, and they probably still want the things that they select as backer rewards, it's like, oh, let's open an Etsy store, let's put them in there, and let's, you know, get some seed money here to at least get going, because we, you know, we were chomping at the bit to get started on the film and, you know, make our deadline, or our timeline as it is, for getting it done. And many of you have supported our Etsy store, and we are very grateful for that. I truly appreciate you. You have helped us get the ball rolling, you know. So we would like to keep the ball rolling so we can get this film made. So our most popular item that people wanted during the Kickstarter campaign, and also once we launched the Etsy store, is our mystery box. We started with two, just the mystery box, and then decided to up the ante with the deluxe mystery box. And just very recently, this past week, we have added a third option, which is our mini mystery box. You can also pre-order the film on DVD or the streaming digital copy in the Etsy store as well. And all the mystery boxes come with access to the streaming digital copy as well. But like, this is the way that we're going to be able to make the film, is through this store. You can help us out whenever you can, and it'd be really appreciated, and you are going to get some sweet stuff in return. So it's a win-win for everybody. So a lot of people want to know what's in the mystery boxes. The first batch of them are going to be shipped this August. So as of right now, the mystery has not been unveiled. But once those first shipment goes out, you know, the word's going to hit the street and people are going to know. So it's not always going to be the same things. And I could say probably no two boxes are the same. On top of that, we're going to make sure that if you get a mystery box, that it's something that you want. Now, you know, we don't personally know everybody, but, you know, we're going to take a few steps to just make sure that people get stuff that they want. That's all I'm going to say, you know. So how we're going to do that is also a mystery. But this isn't just a carbon copy, mass-produced, same thing at all. So this is a very special, unique item. So to check out our Etsy store, you can go to etsy.com/shop/foolishmortalsdoc. Or you can just go to our website, foolishmortalsdoc.com, click on store, and you're there. So another way we are getting this film made is that we have obtained sponsorships. Currently, there's several companies that we're in talks with, and we're working out the details before we can announce them, but you know, that's coming along really well. Really excited for that to come through. But there is a sponsorship that has already come through that I can talk about. And I do want to give them a shout out for, you know, being one of our first sponsors. And that is the store called Beyond the Poison Apple. Now, if you're unfamiliar with Beyond the Poison Apple, they create handcrafted Disney villain and Haunted Mansion inspired items. And their stuff's pretty incredible. And I know you're like, they're your sponsor. You're just going to say that. But not only do I think that their stuff is incredible, Disney themselves think that their stuff is incredible, because they bought items from them to use as props in the Conjure a Villain Halloween show that's been at Disneyland for the past few years. So if that's not an endorsement, I truly don't know what else to say. Like, if you've seen the Conjure a Villain thing at Disneyland, you've seen Beyond the Poison Apple's props. Their stuff is incredible. And we're so excited that we're partnering with them. You can find them at Etsy.com/shop/Beyond the Poison Apple. So if you listening have a company or a film or a podcast or a blog or a YouTube channel, I don't know, anything that you're doing that you, you know, want to promote through us in exchange for sponsorship, I think that would be amazing. Please email us, foolishmortalsdoc@gmail.com, and let's talk. Okay, enough about how we're going to make the film. Let's talk about actually making the film, which we have actually started doing, which is very exciting. We began our first round of interviews earlier this month of July 2016. I went out to New Jersey and New York and did a round of interviews, and then after that went to Seattle, Washington, and did a round of interviews. And I can honestly tell everyone that so far the entire experience has been amazing. Going to people's homes in on the East Coast, and we had a location of our own in Seattle that we're able to utilize. But just being able to sit down and interview the people that so far we've been able to talk to for the film is, it's just been incredible talking about everyone's passion here, Haunted Mansion. Particularly going into people's homes, I have to say that was, and seeing their, you know, their space where they live and where they, and where they show and surround themselves with Haunted Mansion stuff. It was pretty incredible, to say the least. Now, we were not able to do all the interviews that we wanted to for various reasons, but plan to figure that out and circle back around, because there's definitely more people in both those areas that I know that I would like to speak to for the film. But just very excited to actually get started on the process and get the ball rolling. So if you are listening, thank you to everyone that we met and were able to talk to for the film. Now, I know a lot of you listening that have probably sent in emails and want to be part of the film, and that I probably even got an email back and want to know what's going on. They saw the first round. They're like, wait, I didn't get my email. I don't know what's going on. So we plan to make this film between now and the end of October. And since we're raising money as we go, we unfortunately can't plan too far ahead, but we're, you know, diligently trying to figure out how to pull all this stuff off, and we want to talk to as many people as possible. So just be patient if you are waiting to find out when we're going to be able to interview for the film. And if you haven't sent down anything and you still would like to be a part of the film, you have lots of opportunities. Not a lot, but you have some time, depending on where you are and where we're going to be. But you could still be a part of it. So all you need to do is send us an email and explain why you think you should be in the documentary, and that's it. So the more compelling you write, the more likely that we're going to think that you're right for the film. Because we have gotten a lot of submissions, and we are just overwhelmed and humbled by how many people want to take part in our film. So all that being said, send an email in, explain why you think you should be part of the film to foolishmortalsdoc@gmail.com. And for those who are waiting, we'll be in touch. So let's talk about some of the public figures, the public personalities, if you will, the working professionals who will be appearing in Foolish Mortals, because they themselves are also foolish mortals. Right off the bat, we are overjoyed, proud, and excited that Disney legend Rolly Crump will be appearing in our film. And by the off chance that you don't know who Rolly Crump is, there would be no Haunted Mansion if there was not for Rolly Crump. His designs for a project that started off as something called the Museum of the Weird morphed into what became the Haunted Mansion. So, amongst the many other contributions that he has done to Disney and the arts in general, that alone is the fact that there'd be no Haunted Mansion without him makes us very proud that he has agreed to participate in our film. Also scheduled to appear is Imagineer Terry Harden, the guy that literally wrote the book on Haunted Mansion, former Disney Imagineer Jason Sorrell. Indie horror scream queen Tristan Risk, artist Nora C., special effects creator Robert Kurtzman, artist Topher Adam, Skin Wars contestant Dutch Bahari, Sandy Snyder, Axel Carolyn, the director of Soulmate, Mike Mendez, the director of Big Ass Spider and Tales of Halloween, and Axel Carolyn is also a Tales of Halloween director. Spooky Dan Walker, director of Sleigh Bells, William Butler, and veteran actor Lance Hendrickson. So that's the list of people that are scheduled to appear in the film. Stay tuned for more information. All right, now I have a little bit of a treat for everyone. I guess it's a treat. It's up to you. Anyways, on May 17th, I was a guest on the Horror Happens radio show. That is a radio show that is streamed over the internet, but also broadcast live on the radio in New Jersey. The host, JK, invited me on to talk about Foolish Mortals. I actually have known JK for many years, as once upon a time when we were young, we both worked together at a Sam Goody store. So, you know, look that one up, kids, if you don't know what that is. But anyways, he has allowed me to share this on the podcast since it was just streamed live. He doesn't have a podcast version of his fantastic show, which he broadcast live for 4 hours straight, where he interviews many different people from the horror industry. Incredible. But I thought it was a fun interview and a little more insight into the documentary and a little bit about myself as well. So, without any further ado, let's check out me on the Horror Happens radio show.
Very honored, very pleased to welcome James. How are you doing, my friend? How's the left coast?
I'm doing great. We're doing great out here.
Good, man.
How's it going? So.
Well, thank you for jumping on. Now, did you think that 20 years ago this would be where we are right now?
Yes. I exactly knew.
You did. All right. There you go. So when you were sitting behind the counter of Sam Goody's with me there, this was the premonition that you got that 20 some odd years later, we'd be talking and you'd be across the country in Los Angeles. I'd still be here in New Jersey, loving life, doing the show. And we'd meet again in this vicarious position.
Yes, exactly. Everything went up to this moment right now.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. So, you know what? How are you and how is Shannon doing? How are things out there in the left coast? How has the transition been?
Oh, it's been great. And Shannon, of course, is my girlfriend and the
Nightmarish Conjuring.
Of Nightmarish Conjuring.
Yeah.
That's the title she wants, but... we're doing great out here. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of horror activities happening in Southern California.
Nice.
And so there's things happening all the time from the film side and from the haunt side. And so on top of that, mixed with all the Disney stuff that I love, which obviously that comes into play while I'm on here. But I live about 6 miles from Disneyland, so it's
wow,
nonstop fun.
I have no doubt. I'm glad you bring that up because, you know, we talked earlier in the show about the aspect of the fan funding and you know, we clued in a little bit with it, but generally, when we have guests on who are going to be talking about their fan fundings and their projects and stuff, we want to hear it from the horse's mouth. And then I'll tell you, James, Disney has been such a staple in my life for decades, growing up with it, being around kids for a long time in education, as well as the aspect of retail and Blockbuster and Sam Goody's. For you,
yeah,
what has that connection been for Disney? And you know, why? Why the Haunted Mansion? Because you could. There's so many attractions. What really connected you to it?
Okay, well, I mean, I think it's kind of ingrained in most American culture, especially growing up, in our people of our generation and earlier.
Yeah,
Disney has always been there, you know, as a brand. And so, you know, my parents introduced me to many things when I was very young. One was one that I'd mentioned in the interview that you did with me was this book called The Haunted House, which was an adaptation of a short of Mickey, Donald, and Goofy being ghost hunters. And I was obsessed with this book when I was younger. And I see things like that. Like, those are kind of my first introduction to things that are kind of darker and spooky. I mean, it's lighthearted, of course, but, you know, but
yeah,
it really just drew me in. And so, and then once my parents took me to Walt Disney World for the first time, it was just like my head exploded. I was like,
wow.
I didn't even know this was possible. Like, some of the things that you experienced, and it was pretty much started a lifelong obsession after that point.
Man, you know, you talk about that because you talk about the book with it. I had one of those little kind of projector things, little plastic ones you hold in your hand and you turn the crank, and it showed Mickey and it showed Goofy and it showed Donald Duck going through a haunted house, and they open the door and the door breaks down with this wave and the ghosts are surfing the wave and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Exactly, exactly.
I'm talking about this toy that looked like it was a little camera. But
right, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the great thing about what you're doing with Foolish Mortals, that documentary, and that's one thing I loved and why I wanted to get you on to talk about, is because this is something not only is a bridge for horror, James, but it's also the aspect of something that really is the good about this. I mean, a lot of people talk about things that are kind of lost, how things are lost in the shuffle of daily life. Horror is something that connects so deep and so young to us that it's kind of hard to get lost in the shuffle. And this kind of documentary with the Haunted Mansion is something that really reconnects us. I mean, bravo to you right away, I want to say, for going ahead and getting this going and really trying to find it for a new audience as well as for the audience that you grew up with.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And to kind of dive a little more about, well, you know, why the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, why?
I feel like the Haunted Mansion is a crossroads of what I love. I mean, it's obviously, I talk about my love for Disney, but as I grew, you know, older and kind of found my way through life, I kind of gravitated more towards darker, creepier, spookier things in life.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously, horror culture is intertwined in that as well. But
yeah,
So I do a podcast called Creepy Kingdom, which is about the creepiness of Disney. So, you know, I'm surprised everyone after what I just said. But
yeah,
what I learned was I started interviewing people and a lot of artists and just kind of meeting a lot of people that were really affected by the Haunted Mansion. It also affected their not only their personal lives but their professional lives as well. And it's just something I just kept thinking about, to be honest. And it was just like, and then just the light bulb went off in my head, and I was like, I need to tell this story. I need to figure, you know, I need to talk to these people. I need to do a documentary. And yeah, I have a million ideas all the time.
Yeah,
you know, usually I put something, and you know, if I don't remember, you know, I usually forget the next day. But this just stayed with me for days and days. And finally, I was like, okay,
wow.
We're going to pull the trigger on this. We're going to keep this going.
Well, you know, that's something when you look at the aspect of the fan funding, the aspect of the Kickstarter, which is up right now, and I believe it has about 21 days left. It runs till June 9th. The, you know, on there, you break down the cost for to do these kind of things. It's not cheap to do a documentary about anything, let alone something that is surrounded by the kingdom of Disney and something that's been around for decades. What financially, business-wise, planning-wise, what made this feasible that you could do something like this and make it to the quality you wanted?
Well, I think it's – I mean, a lot of this is my background. I mean, my full-time job is I'm a videographer and a video editor. So it's kind of like I know I have the ability to do it. But I also wanted to do something at a higher quality. So, you know, I have my partner, executive producer Ryan, who has kind of helped me kind of bring things to the next level. And part of that is we want to do is create 3D animation. And so just that's something that I think has just really raised the production value of this whole thing.
Yeah.
Because we're not actually going to shoot inside any of the theme parks because we're not, we're not going to do guerrilla style. We're not going to, this is an unauthorized documentary. So this is not affiliated with Disney. And quite honestly, I wouldn't want it to be because I want it to be real and honest. And, you know, I don't think Disney really is too excited about the horror fan base around the Haunted Mansion, for example. Like, they'd like to keep their image, family friendly.
Yeah.
I mean, they're excited about people spending money there.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. But I mean, I don't think that they would get behind a really raw, honest documentary about Haunted Mansion fans or put it out,
You know what? That's something that I find absolutely interesting, James, because when you deal with this, and I remember dealing with this even, two decades ago, Disney is like, I mean, they're all over the place. They've got people watching everywhere. So if you use a picture or you use their likeness or you use they jump in and they're ready to arrest you on site. They're ready to sue you on site. Has there been, with the recognition and the publicity so far, you haven't run into anything yet from Disney where they've given you a big boot saying you need to stop?
Well, no, but if they had, I probably wouldn't talk about it.
Okay, fair enough.
It's a fair question. I mean, here's the thing. Is that there was this movie called Escape from Tomorrow.
Right.
That was secretly shot inside the Disney parks. It's a quote-unquote horror movie.
Yes. Creepy movie. It's
a creepy movie. I'll give it that. But it certainly has things in it that Disney wouldn't want to be associated with. And
wow.
And since Disney has never officially commented on it, they never went after this guy, and I guess they kind of figured that anything they would do would just add publicity to it.
Right.
But since this has happened, they have put out this rule that you can't shoot video inside the theme parks for commercial purposes.
Interesting.
So there's that, and just the sheer magnitude and the publicity and the getting the word out we've been doing for this project for the past 2 months prior
Absolutely.
To our Kickstarter launch. I know that there's people that work for Disney that are aware of this documentary. I can say that. But there's been nothing that has happened.
Right.
To try to stop it.
Well, and I don't mean James to bring that up as any sort of deteriorate. I have no doubt that that is not an issue, but it's a fair, like you say, it's a fair question to ask to just get the understanding of it because, there's been a lot of great memories and a lot of great things that have come from Disney and doing this documentary. I mean, I saw the post today. You've got some pretty big names within the horror community jumping on board for it. How has it been wrangling guests and getting people in the planning and the production of this?
I have to say, for the most part, this is like, just every person that we talk to or approach to be a part of this is just so excited.
Nice.
Which just really validates the whole project to me that, just to think, okay, like we're on the right track. And I mean, there are people, that work in the film industry or in the theme park industry that we want to include that are not necessarily in horror.
But of course.
I think the people that we have talked to and, that work in horror are, they're like chomping at the bit to have these kind of conversations
Wow.
because they have no other platform to have them.
Wow.
And it's it's awesome. You know, it's at least.
That's incredible. I mean, I mentioned it before, like Mike Mendez has jumped on board. There's been a handful of people that have been jumped on board. But you know what, James, I'm glad you bring that up, because it, in this kind of a documentary, it's more crucial to have the people, not necessarily in horror, but those who are involved with it, because it's gone through so much in how many years has it been now? 50 plus years at least?
No, it's almost 50.
Almost 50, okay.
Yeah, the 45th was 2 years ago. Yeah.
Okay, so close then.
Almost 50. Yep.
Wow. So what about those people? I mean, it's gone through so much with technology and the people that have come and gone, families impacted. I mean, talk about those people that are involved, that you want their voices to be a part of this.
Well, I mean, we're trying to book them, so I don't want to jinx it.
Okay.
but there are people. There's a lot of people that were involved in the. And the creation and the concept and of the mansion that are retired that we want to be included. And there's people that have been involved in the upgrade, some that still work for the company. That's how I know that.
Oh, okay.
I know about it. what's great about that is, what's great about all the mansion in general is it has these tricks and illusions and effects that were created in, you know, in the late 60s that are still there today, mixed in with this, you know, today's cutting edge technology. And everything is all seamless. It's not jarring going from one to the other. And just, there's something really magical about it. Like it doesn't make sense, like on paper. But when you experience it, you're just like, you're like, wow, in particular, I'm talking about, there's this character called the Hatbox Ghost.
Yeah.
Who was originally, when they first opened it, they tried to do this illusion where he's holding a hatbox and his head disappears and then appears in the hatbox. And they ended up, it was only on the ride for like 3 or 4 days because it wasn't working, it just didn't work, and they took it out. But that little, and there was like one picture of it or something, like very, very little publicity, but it grew this massive legend over the years that people were like really obsessed with this character that was barely in the mansion. And it was such a fan demand for it that they actually brought him back last year and put him in.
Wow. That's so cool.
And that animatronic of the Hatbox Ghost is what I'm talking about. Or that is just cutting edge technology next to just, you know, 1960s technology, like literally back to back. And it just works seamlessly.
You know what? You bring up the aspect of the 1960s, and I was reading up on the Haunted Mansion, and this took many years after Disney's death even to be able to get it up and get it going. And now it's around the world in the different Disney parks. You have the Haunted Mansions, different incarnations. But the history of it also, how are you incorporating the history of it going all the way back to going almost 50 years now into the documentary? Is it going to be through the interviews? Are you going to be doing different mini features? What's the planning for it that you've come up with so far, if you could talk about that?
Sure. I mean, the main focus of the documentary is about, you know, the fan culture. So it's not a comprehensive history.
Yeah.
There's a lot of history. Jeff Bam is a guy who runs the longest running Haunted Mansion fan site, Doom Buddies, wrote a book called The Unauthorized History of Haunted Mansion, which details it better than any place I've ever seen, because there's so much goes into it. But as we plan to talk to people that were involved in making it, the history is just going to kind of come out of it naturally. So there's going to be some history in it, of course, just because as they talk about, you know, what, you know, making it. But I've also been kind of thinking, it might be a bonus feature or something separate to kind of have like a, you know, like a comprehensive little thing
that
shows, you know, timeline at least, or, you know, the evolution, just something like that, because I don't want to ignore that. That's just not the focus.
Right, exactly. Well, you want to be able to find that balance with it. I just saw, James, a documentary recently that had to do with the Process Church, and the ability to get the photographs and the ability to get the radio, the audio for certain segments of it, made me think about the aspect of Foolish Mortals with that. Sure. I mean, are you going to be incorporating any of the aspects of the old merchandise, any of the old photos, any of those particular aspects to go along with the interviews, the conversations, the backstory, and so much more?
Yeah, as long as those things come from the people that I'm speaking with.
Perfect.
We're not going to take things off the internet that we don't have rights to.
That's fine. Well, that's why I asked that. I know you're a very smart guy, and you and Shannon have done a tremendous job in the areas that you have, and I figured as much. But that's a question I asked because those old-time photos and that merchandise and that memorabilia, those memories really spark something, a different segment for the people watching this documentary.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think especially with old merch and maybe old photos, I mean, I think people will possess those, you know, so we'll be able to showcase them, you know, for sure.
Nice, man. Nice. Jerry Smith from Icons of Fright, who's a tremendous guy. We're going to replay his chat about his fan funding for Love is Dead in a little bit. Talk about having him jump on board and the Los Angeles, the aspect of the California community, the Hollywood community that's there. I mean, how much does that really benefit you being out there getting this documentary done?
Well, Jerry has been awesome. I mean, Jerry's a friend of mine and Shannon's, and just very, you know, was very helpful. And he was really excited about the project and was just offering his help and kind of making these connections without, you know, being asked. And he just did so much that we're like, dude, you got to be a part of the project, you know? And so as soon as he officially came on, it's just been incredible. I mean, I know I'm running out of adjectives to use.
Nice, man, nice.
I need a thesaurus.
Yeah, you know what, James, real quick, because we're coming up on it now. You know, working so much in media, even 2 decades ago when you were here in New Jersey and we worked together, how much did that impact you working at Sam Goody's and working around films and all that stuff for the aspect of your love and being a fan of not only horror but the aspects of Disney and the Haunted Mansion? Did it impact you that much at all?
Well, I'm not sure particularly working at Sam Goody impacted me in that way, but I think just kind of where I was at that point in my life. So what was that, like 20 years ago? Literally 20 years
ago. Yeah, yeah. Scary, isn't it, man?
Yeah. I like to pretend it was almost 20 years ago. It was literally 20 years ago. I mean, you know, we were working in a town called Hackettstown, New Jersey.
Yep.
I mean, as time goes on, more stores open up and more things happen. But at the time, there was, like, really nothing around there. And even though Sam Goody isn't, like, the coolest place on earth or something, I mean, it was the only place locally to buy music or movies.
Right,
like,
exactly.
There wasn't even, like, a Walmart in our town at that time.
Nope.
Or Target or anything.
Nothing. Not for at least, another decade at least.
Yeah. So so you kind of, you know, even though, you know, there was a lot of mainstream and, you know, it was a corporate store. A lot of people that worked there were actually really into, like, cool stuff, you know, and because it was, like, the only place to kind of, like, be a part of it locally. So, I think that, and that's also kind of pre-internet. Internet too.
You know? Oh, we had the modem going on the computer with Rick, and he was trying to look up stuff in the catalog and all stuff. Oh, my God.
The microfiche.
The microfiche, that's right. The microfiche. We were writing down cards for pre-orders and stuff like that. Oh, my God.
And that's the other thing, yeah. We would constantly be, like, having special orders.
Yep, that's right. That's right.
They wouldn't carry it in the store.
That's great. Also, folks, thterrortime.com. Read the interview I did with James in the night market also to get more information on it.
Thank you. Before I go,
yes, sir.
One last thing to say. I just want to give a shout out to Nightmares Conjuring's contributor Abigail, who's running a Kickstarter to do a stop motion horror short film right now called Cadillac Dust. I just had to give a shout out to her. So if you're in the giving mood, check out that as well at Kickstarter.
I talked to Abigail. We're going to be talking about that next week on the program.
Can't wait. Awesome.
Thank you, James. I'll talk to you soon.
Take care. Bye.
Bye. James Carter, the second year on the Horror Happens radio show, talking Foolish Mortals, a Haunted Mansion documentary here on the Horror Happens radio show. We'll be back with Matthew Douglas from Nightmare365.com here on the program.
Well, before we wrap this bonus episode of Creepy Kingdom up, I just want to get some thanks out there. Let's get some thanks going out here. I want to thank the crew of Foolish Mortals who has helped out on our first shoots that we've accomplished. Special thank you to Josh Wells, John Robertson, Julie Hahn, and Johanna Carter for all of their hard work during the shoots. It was amazing, and I couldn't have done it without you guys, literally. So, yes, thank you very much. I want to thank all of our buddies and pals in the media who have helped us spread the word about our documentary, about our Kickstarter, and about what we're doing. So a special thanks goes to Diz After Dark Podcast, Disney Dream Girls Podcast, Nightmarish Conjurings, Horror Buzz, Morbidly Beautiful, Nightmare 365 Podcast, Dread Central, Modern Mouse Radio, Inside the Magic, Slash Film, What Culture, We Are Indie Horror, Tomorrow Society Podcast, The Horrific Network, Horror Happens Radio, The Metal Geeks Podcast, Cynthia Boris, and The Mickey Dudes Podcast. Thank you all so much for helping spread the word about this documentary. And I want to thank the Foolish Mortals team for all the hard work throughout this entire process. Thank you to Miss Roxy Tart, Monica Rice, Shannon McGrew, Jerry Smith, Philip Swift, and Jeff Heimbach, whose job has been to troll haters, which is a full-time job, obviously. So, and a very special thank you to my partner in crime on this entire project, Mr. Ryan Grulick. I know we're just in the midst of this, but I just want to publicly thank you enough for joining me on this journey. So far, it's been amazing, and we're literally just getting started. So, and most importantly, thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting the film. If you have already, thank you for considering to support the film if you're thinking about it. Just thank you. Thank every person out there who has just been so excited and so supportive about this project. You know, we are just so, I can't even think of the right words. Just so excited to just get this out there and just keep continuing on this process. Please connect with us on social media if you haven't already. It's Foolish Mortals Doc on Instagram. I think it's, same thing on Facebook. Facebook.com/FoolishMortalsDoc, or just search Foolish Mortals and you'll find it. Foolish Mortals D on Twitter. And of course, we're on Tumblr under Foolish Mortals Doc. And the easiest way to remember all that stuff is just go to our website, foolishmortalsdoc.com. And if you want to get this information as it happens, the best thing for you to do is sign up for our mailing list while you're there. Well, that's about it. So until next time.